Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
I truly think in brokerage, we're in the talent management business, if we think about it that way, that we're managing the talent of the agents and the staff. We're always looking for talent. And I had, again, a former boss who was really good at seeing people's strengths and encouraging them to something else, even if maybe they weren't thinking that way. And so I try to think about that a lot. I think about the people I work with, the agents, the staff, and the gifts that they have and how we can help develop that. And just, you know, if they work with us for a long time and we can help them develop, I feel like we missed the mark. I think that's the most important thing, is kind of building people and developing talent.
What are you doing to build relationships with your agents and your agents? What are they doing to build relationships in the community? It's really the key to having a successful business. And that is exactly what Jill Butler, founder of Red Key Realty Leaders in St. Louis, Missouri, talked about on the podcast. She also talked a little bit about some of the trends and the things she's hearing about AI and the buyer agency, of course, based on being at the Leading Real Estate Companies of the World conference just recently. So there are some really interesting tidbits to come out of that. And she also talked about some of her challenges. I mean, and she's had some pretty big ones, including, several lawsuits filed against her when she first started her brokerage. And she talks a lot about, you know, the effort that it took to really kind of block them out and focus on what was really important. And that was growing the business that she decided to pursue after being an agent for many years. So I think you'll get a lot out of this podcast. It's really interesting what she's been through and where she sees opportunity in the future. Today, I'd like to welcome Jill Butler. She is the founder of Red Key Realty Leaders in St. Louis, Missouri. So thanks for joining the podcast, Jill.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you founded the brokerage in 2012. So can you tell me a little bit about the brokerage and what your business model or compensation model is?
Sure. So I was an agent before I started the brokerage, and I worked at Sotheby's, kind of in the boutique luxury space. And then later I worked at Keller Williams. And then after that decided, okay, there are great things in all different companies. But I thought in the back of my mind, if I could do it on my own, I might take something from this and something from that and try something different. So I started it in 2012, and we are a capped model, and yet we have a lot of services for agents. So it's kind of like there's things I loved in the boutique side, and then there are things I definitely liked on kind of more of the capped model.
Okay. And what are some of the services that you offer?
So a big one is we have a lot of marketing. So we say marketing done for you, but we have a very robust marketing department. You know, we do some print and brand advertising, because again, if you are going on a listing, we want to make sure that we have a seat at the table, that the consumer has heard of us, and especially high-end listings. We do a lot of digital. We do a lot of video. And again, agents should stay in their dollar productive activities, and we'll take things off their plate to help them market the properties and market themselves.
Okay. So you don't have any affiliated services, mortgage, title, anything
like that? Yeah. We have a joint venture with title, and we have MSA with mortgage.
Okay. Great. And tell me about how many agents you have and offices.
Yeah. So we have a little over 200 agents. We currently have 3 offices. We just opened our third. So 1 office is smaller, but to us, a great office would have about 100 agents.
Okay, great. And I know you've been adding some top performing teams. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your agent growth strategy and find out, are you really focused on teams, or what type of strategy are you looking at to grow? Are you doing any M&A, or are you looking at more organic growth?
No, typically more organic growth. I do think that's an opportunity right now. Real estate is tough. It's tough for the agents. It's tough for the brokers lately. And so we have had some larger teams or even some really small brokerages that just say, I'd love to join forces so I can focus on what I want to do and you guys can take things off my plate. hasn't been a real intentional M&A strategy, but I do think in the next year or two, you know, we're going to see more of that consolidation. And our growth strategy is really based on core values of the company. So we have core values and we hire, fire, recruit, promote to core values. So it's not necessarily like we want a team doing this much in volume. It's more like we're looking for agents that fit our core value, kind of fit the culture, because then the offerings we're making seem to fit with them and it just seems to go much better.
Okay. And do you handle recruiting or do you have a recruiter or a team?
Yeah, sales manager. So we have a sales manager in each office and they handle recruiting and I help too. I love recruiting. And I think every broker knows this, but really our best recruiting source is our own agents. So it's like, you know, we've tried lots of different things and I just think it's, you can look just online and see who's doing a lot of production, but you also want to know like what kind of agent are they? Would they be a good fit for our company? That's going to come from the agents who are in the field doing the deals with other agents.
Okay, great. And I know in your core values, you mentioned culture and freedom as two of the benefits of joining your brokerage. Tell me a little bit about your core values and what you mean by freedom and what your culture kind of is.
So our kind of unofficial motto is love, service, and fun. And really, I mean, it sounds funny. I don't know, but it's really what realtors do all the time. Love is build relationships. Service is solve problems. And we try to make it fun when possible. So kind of, you know, we want our staff to show love, service, and fun to our agents. We want our agents to show that same to their clients. And it has to be like a positive ecosystem, you know, kind of joke, like, again, with the CAPS model, like everybody's paying the same. So no divas, check your ego at the door, show up, let's work, let's have fun. So that's kind of part of the core value. We have five other core values, but that's kind of the heart of it. And then on freedom, we look at, you know, all of us are in this business because of agents. So, you know, they pay the rent, they pay our salaries. We want to show up and help them and take things off their plate. And if we help them be successful, we'll be successful. So we really focus on marketing done for you and a lot of like touches and helping them stay in touch with their client base and grow their businesses.
Do you feel like, you know, agent productivity, have you really started focusing a little bit more on that given the down market? What are some of your agents doing to really boost their productivity? And what are you doing as a broker to help them?
You know, I always say that the person who has the closest relationship to the client wins. So we really like AI and we like tech that's in service and that takes away some of that gives you more time to make sure you're in relationship with your clients. And, you know, we have top teams. One of our top teams does over 60 million. And she will say her number one strategy is her top 50 list. If you have your top 50 advocates that send you business, that's, you know, everything else could blow up. Your whole database could go away, but take care of that kind of group of advocates. So I think it's, I just keep telling agents right now, double down. Like there's still business happening. I think we're going to have a really good year. I think when interest rates, if they go down mid-year, we're going to see, you know, like higher buyer demand. And so this is the time to whatever you're doing for lead gen and for prospecting and for marketing and for being in touch, do more of it.
Do you do any events, recruiting events or anything like that for bringing in agents, training or?
Yeah, I mean, this may sound funny, but from a brokerage standpoint, like everything can be a recruiting event because part of it is they need to know what the culture's like. I mean, that's something people have to experience. So it's like, you know, if you're training, you can invite a recruit and they can see if they like your training. We do client events for the agents because, again, we feel like the number one thing is face-to-face with their clients. So we do things like, you know, rent out movie theaters and outdoor movies and recycling day and pumpkin pie day. And you can always invite recruits to that as well so they can see the services they would receive. But I think for our culture, probably training events are our best recruiting because we're sort of learning based. So if we bring in a speaker from out of town or we might do a top agent panel, then we want to bring it to help our own agents and kind of inject energy into our office. But also it lets people who are maybe considering our company check it out and see if it's a fit for them.
. 2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000 Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1000watt.net/summit.
Yeah, I think those are so important, especially in today's climate. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because the things have changed since 2012. We went through several market cycles. Post-pandemic was, huge boom. And we also have, all of course, the lawsuits going on right now. And so since you started the company, how are you adapting to kind of the changing market, not just the housing market, but the market, the real estate industry changes as well?
So I think the number one determination of success in a brokerage is local leadership. I really do, because you'll see like successful independents, you'll see successful franchise models, you'll see capped, you'll see traditional, you'll see flat fee. And I think the most important thing, especially in this current environment, is leadership, because there's uncertainty. So brokers and leaders need to show up and be leaders for the agents, saying, we can get you through this. We're going to get through this. And also, agents need to show that same leadership with their clients, because if you've written several offers and they're not getting it and they don't know what to do and they can't get to their goal, like, they need someone to guide them. So, there's a lot of uncertainty, but I feel really positive. I really do, because I think this is going to make us better as an industry. We didn't know, I'll be honest, like the lack of transparency. I was just at leading RE conference, and 1000 Watts presented some information. And one question, I thought it was fascinating. They did surveys before the verdict came out and then after. And they would ask people who had recently purchased a home and had signed a buyer's agency agreement, how did your agent get paid? And most of them didn't know. So I think that's on us saying, okay, there's value. There's great value. Real estate's not going away. Guiding people and helping them is not going away. But we need to be able to talk about our value. This is what I do. This is how I get paid. This is, just similarly the way we've handled listings. That's how we need to handle buyers. But I think after, no matter what happens, we will be better. The people who rise to the occasion will be better able to serve their clients and more professional.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that's interesting. We've done several consumer studies at RealTrends. The last one was probably 8 years ago. But, every year that we've done them, the number of consumers who think it's vital to use an agent in their transaction has gone up. And what's interesting is it's gone up with younger generations, whereas the boomers, it's gone down a little bit. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And then what is your state? Are you dual agency? Are you transaction brokerage state? Or do you use buyer agency? Okay. So you do use the agreements?
Yes. But even that, we talked about it at our sales meeting today. And I said, we may have missed the mark because we've been doing buyer's agency. But again, it may just be here, sign this paper. This is how, I don't know that we drilled down enough because it hits me if consumers say, I signed a buyer's agency agreement, but I still don't quite understand how it all works. This is time for us to get better.
Yeah, definitely. I do think it's a great opportunity for the whole industry to come together and to improve the relationships with buyers and sellers, and that, like you said, the transparency to the transaction. Definitely. Now, growing your brokerage, what were some of the challenges that you were faced with early on? And then is there anything you wish you would have done differently as you've grown?
So I'm going to say done differently. I'm going to say no, and not out of a place of arrogance, but just that every single thing we go through teaches us something and helps us to the next thing. I will tell you, there are a lot of challenges. So I'm just going to be very real. And that is, so I left, started my own thing, and we started out of a hotel room. And part of it was, I was like, I'm not doing this out of my basement. Like, I just have to land, show up somewhere. And it was funny because they just started joining. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, we're in a hotel room. Like, do not entrust your real estate career with me. We're not ready. But part of it was, we thought the space we wanted was coming open. So for about 6 or 8 weeks, we were in the Frontenac Hilton. Very small, very bootstrapping it. And I think it was just sort of that deathbed thing of like, if I don't do this, someday I'll wish I would have done it. So I'm like, okay, I'll try this for a year. If it doesn't work, I'll go sell real estate or I'll go get a job as a, you know, manager, but I'm going to try this, whatever happens. So things were going well, agents were joining. And then my previous broker on the on a different level sent three lawsuits in one day to me. And if they went away, I mean, nothing, there was nothing. It was really, I think, an attempt to like scare or get us to, and it does, it gives you pause like, oh no, we can barely pay our rent. Like, how are we going to handle this? And I had a coach at the time who just talked about, what's your vision? Stop looking at that. And there's the race car driver, Mario Andretti, said some quote about, if you want to win a race, the main thing is don't look at the wall. Wherever your eyes go, your car's going to go there. Okay, so I thought about that all the time, kind of like, I've got a lawyer, I'm going to turn it over to him. I am not going to look at this. I have to think about, where do I want to be in a year? What are we trying to create? Why are we getting up every day? After like, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, they kept wanting me to settle. I said, absolutely not, I'm not doing it. And they went away. It was just a scare tactic. So I think what I learned from that, and it's forever, it's all through life, like there's going to be challenges, there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be problems, but stay focused on what you're trying to create, because the rest of it's noise. And no matter what, if you stay focused on that, you can handle the obstacles.
Yeah, that's great advice. And interesting, you know, you must have been doing something right for them to want to do that. So
thanks. It's a good way to look at it. Thank you.
So what excites you the most about the future of real estate and the real estate industry?
Well, I love seeing younger people come into the business. I think, you know, we have a mix in our company of all different ages and stuff. And it's like, there's things that the veteran agents can definitely teach us because, you know, we've been through the ups and the downs and we know things change and kind of that tenacity. I like seeing the social media, the video, the AI, and how we can incorporate that into our business. But again, I keep going back to, it's still like a high touch relationship business. So I like seeing the new things coming along and new ideas coming up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it, by now technology is really table stakes for a lot of brokers. And but the key really is in the relationships, because you're in a local market. You have to get to know the people you're working with. And as a broker, you need to be getting to know the agents that you work with and that you want to work with. You know, so it all comes down to relationships in the end, definitely. Yeah. And then I want to talk about a leadership lesson. You talked a little bit about kind of a challenge and what you learned from that. But what do you feel are maybe some of the greatest leadership lessons that you've learned over the years?
So I truly think in brokerage, we're in the talent like management business. If we think about it that way, that we're managing the talent of the agents and the staff. We're always looking for talent. And I had, again, a former boss who was really good at seeing people's strengths and encouraging them to something else, even if maybe they weren't thinking that way. And so I try to think about that a lot. I think about the people I work with, the agents, the staff, and the gifts that they have and how we can help develop that. And just, you know, if they work with us for a long time and we didn't help them develop, I feel like we missed the mark. I think that's the most important thing, is kind of building people and developing talent.
Tell me about the structure of your company. Who's on your leadership team? What does your leadership team look like?
Yeah, so I'm CEO, owner, and just kind of do a little bit of everything. And then we have, well, getting ready to hire our third sales manager, but the sales managers each run their offices. And I kind of see them as the CEO of their offices. And then they have a support team of coordinator of agent success, front desk. We have a director of marketing. We have a director of finance. We have a broker of record. So those are the primary leadership roles.
Okay. And where do you hope to take your brokerage? You know, what are you looking for? Are you looking to grow into new markets or just grow locally?
Yeah. I mean, right now, what looks good to me is just continue to grow in St. Louis. We've had, you know, a good year and a good, everything's been going really well. And again, a lot of it is just aligning with the right people. Like, there's not one brokerage that's perfect for everybody, depending on what we offer and what the agent wants, and if we come together and it can be good for both. But kind of ambitiously, in the next 4 years, I would love to double. So I'm just kind of focused on growth and supporting our staff, supporting our agents, and kind of want to be a very powerful local brand. And I say, like, I want us to be powerful, that we can compete and do offer lots of services. And I want us to also have that personal touch of like a boutique.
Yeah. And you said last year the St. Louis market was down 7% in closed sales volume, but Red Key was up 26%. Do you attribute that some to some recruiting and bringing in some really productive agents or teams?
Yeah, I mean, recruiting definitely helps. I would also say we had agents who had their best year ever last year. So, you know, it's kind of like tale of two markets. Some people really had a tough year and some people had a great year.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have agents who are very involved in the community. Do you as a broker do anything specific, or support any causes or have anything that you support within the community?
Yeah, we try to give back. We want to be very, you know, community focused. And we have a lot of agents that are on boards. And we, you know, I feel like we look through that lens all the time of how we can volunteer, how we can donate money. It is on my list for this year of making it a more scalable endeavor. So I've seen other companies that are doing some really great things where every transaction they're going to donate X amount. And I want us, that's my goal for this year, and that we will have a board of advisors that will decide where the grants go. So again, I was looking at, like, we're doing kind of one-offs, and I feel like we do a lot, but I think we could do so much more if we make it not transactional, but more transformational. So I'll report back, but that's my goal for this year.
Great. That's a great goal to have. So this is a question I ask in every podcast, and it always elicits some interesting answers. But I find that in every entrepreneur or leader's life, they have this aha moment. They have multiple aha moments, but one that really impacts them the most, maybe changed the course of your career or changed something you did. What is your most impactful aha moment?
Wow. Okay. I should know an answer to that, but okay. So our spirit animal, you're going to feel like you guys are a bunch of like weirdos, but anyway, we're just a spirit animal, which is the honey badger. So I don't know if you know the honey badger video, but the honey badger doesn't give up. So I just think we've all been through tough times. When I got the lawsuit, that was a really tough time, but it was like, that's okay. Like, get back up. It really, tough times are going to happen to everybody. Tough times are going to happen in many real estate deals. There's always going to be one or two solutions. So look for the solutions. Stop looking at the problem. Be the honey badger. Nothing stops the honey badger, and keep going.
And do you still work with a coach?
Yeah. No, I always coach because I feel like if you want to get better, you should, yeah. You know, I always coach.
Okay, great. Where do you see the most opportunity in the market in 2024? Maybe it's just local opportunity or in general, where are you finding the most opportunity?
So are you asking like for agents or...
I think it could be for agents or for brokers. Honestly, you know, if there's opportunity for walkovers or, you know, yeah. What you're seeing in your market. So,
because just like, I mean, I just think it's been an interesting, I mean, start with COVID, you know, from uncertainty and then crazy busy. And then the interest rates went up and just it's been an interesting few years. So, you know, it's all about vision and working with talent. So I think if you can be in relationship with people and if you have the goal of like, how can you make their life better? There are a lot of people who are maybe running a brokerage and they are in production and it's a lot. And if you can help them find a way to either figure out their next thing and include them in the vision, I just think that's a huge opportunity.
Okay. You mentioned you are at Leading RE. So I'm going to throw another question in here about Leading RE because I love that conference and I've been to a couple of them. What are some of the trends or kind of things that really stuck through to you that you learned at the recent conference?
So I just get so much value because you're with so many wonderful like leaders and companies. And I think that helps. And I kind of say, if anybody's an independent out there, it's like it's all the great things about a franchise of like the training and collaboration. And yet everybody's doing it their own way. So they're all very unique. You know, we talked a lot about AI. Marcy Rizel, their economist, said, you know, it's not humans versus technology and AI. It will be humans who use AI versus humans who don't. So, like, it's just going to help us with some of the thinking work and take some things off our plate. So do not resist it. Learn how to utilize it to improve what you're currently doing. You know, a lot of talk about just buyer's agency and what we need to do next and how to help our agents. And then again, so speculation of we all wish we knew exactly when, but the interest rates hopefully this year will be going down and we need to be doing everything to get ready and as the market continues to change. But I still think, you know, for people who are engaged and committed, it's going to be a good market.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you did say you have some core services. So are you doing anything specific to really boost your capture rates with those core services?
I think, of course, everybody probably knows this, but it's all about the talent. I keep saying talent all the time, but like if you have a great closer or you have great loan officers, that's going to make it easier. No matter what you do, if it's not the highest and best person, then your agents aren't going to want to use them. So I always say everyone has to earn the right to your business. We think we've put together a team that is very committed to doing great work and offering great customer service. So we just want, we feel like both of our services are part of our team. And so like one small thing, but when we close an office and as an agent, I used to run around and like buy, you know, champagne and chocolates and put up balloons. And so I look at like, what can we do to take that off your plate? So when there's an in-house closing, we have a sign that welcomes the client and we have champagne and we have chocolate and it's all done for you from the title company. So again, just look at how can you make the experience better for the client and how can you take something off the agent's plate and be a partner with them?
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. You know, I've been to quite a few offices where title capture is generally pretty decent. Mortgage capture is much more difficult. And it's all over the board why agents aren't using the mortgage company. Could be the products that they want aren't available through that mortgage company, or they don't feel loved by, you know, the representative. So it is really kind of a tightrope to walk when trying to kind of capture some of that. And it's a necessity these days with margins as slim as they are. You have to have some sort of services, affiliated services to do that.
And I think you're hitting it on, it's partly relationship. You know, they want to know that they can trust the other person and that there's, you know, care on both sides. But also just like, I've seen sometimes in meetings where core services stand up and kind of like do a commercial. It's like, that's probably not going to work. It's going to be, you know, how can I help your client? What are down payment assistance? I mean, like make the agent's job easier.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And finally, my last question is just how do you plan to innovate or expand in the coming years? Are there any new services you're looking at or, you know, boosting some kind of service you already offer?
So I think we just keep, I mean, we have a really good like marketing technology team. So I think that's a lot of it, kind of finding out what's out there, bringing it back to the agents, making it as user friendly as possible, and kind of the rest has to be noise. So keeping our agents focused. And then this is just kind of my passion project, but the nonprofit partnerships, that's what I'm really focused on. So sorry, don't have more to say. I like start talking to my lawyer, my accountant, and they're like, this is crazy. It's too much work. And so I'm like, I don't believe you. I think we'll have a launch by now, but I'm like, okay, we're back to the drawing board, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, great. Jill, thank you so much for joining Real Trending. We really appreciate all your insight and your information about your company.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.